Good evening, everyone. I call the Warwick City Council meeting for May 6, 2024 to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gebhardt? Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the
Good evening again, everyone. At this time, we're on general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, our community events. I have one a condolence, and I ask for a moment of silence here for Carol Wheat. Carol passed away. She was a Ward 7 resident and also used to work for the city of Warwick, and she worked in the clerk's office and was a colleague of our clerk as well. So if I could have a moment of silence for her. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other council members that have any announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Foley.
Thank you. On May 18th in Goddard Park, there is a 5K run walk at 10:30. This is to help the Breath of Hope organization. 5-year-old Landon Vasquez has a rare lung disease. His family started the organization to educate people about the disease. And this walkathon, 5K run walk, is to help raise money to help find a cure. The Vasquezes are family friends of the Foleys. Landon's father, as a matter of fact, grew up with my kids. They were in my house numerous times. His mother and father are former Warwick residents. So anything we can do. For information, I know the mayor has shared this on his page. So anyone wanting information, that might be the easiest way to find it. His name again is Landon Vasquez. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
If I could request a moment of silence for Al Torres, a Warwick firefighter, retired, passed away at age 80 on Friday, April 26th. He was also the father of our former colleague, Donald Torres, and the grandfather-in-law of our school committee chair, Sean Galligan.
Thank you. We'll have a moment of silence. Thank you. Anyone else under general communications? I just have one additional one, the budget hearings. are scheduled for Monday, May 20th. So the public hearings for the city budget will be Monday, May 20th. Okay, next up is executive communications. There are none. Move to A, which is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on April 22nd. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. There are no announcements of appointments, and there are no appointments requiring confirmations. At this time, I ask my colleagues if there would be any objections to moving right to the two public hearings that we have here, and then we'll come back to the consent calendar. So is there any objections to hearing the two public hearings at this time? Okay, hearing none, we will now move to page 3 on the agenda. Number 1 is PCO 3-24, an order of an abandonment of a portion of Lakedale Drive. Committee report, land use.
Committee recommends opening public hearing.
Okay, do we have a second to that? Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, so we are now going to have the public hearing on PCO 3-24. How we run our public hearings are we ask that any speaker please speak directly into the mic and slowly speak and identify themselves for the record. We have a stenographer here for public record. What we will do is I will ask if there is anyone here to present PCO 3-24. Members of the that person will present. Members of the council will be able to ask questions. And then after that, I will then ask, are there any members of the public that are here to speak for the project? I will ask that 3 times. I will then ask if there's any members of the public that are here to speak against this project. I will ask that 3 times. And then I will give an opportunity for anyone who would just like to be heard on this project, and we will ask that 3 times as well. So that is how we are going to conduct both of these public hearings this evening. So right now is as PCO 3-24. I see that we have someone here to present. Mr. Resnick, if you can please introduce yourself and your project this evening.
Sorry about that. The whites were desirous of putting an addition on their home. And when they started the process, they realized, although they were going up and had a pre-existing non-conforming lot, pre-existing non-conforming home, even though they were going up and not spreading out on the footprint, they still had to go to zoning for dimensional relief. Part of the zoning requirement is they have to have a class one survey. So they had a class one survey and found the home that they've been living in since 2017, which was built about 100 years ago as an ice house, was encroaching on the undeveloped portion of the road. Once that happens, because it's on a town or a city street, the individual can't hold adversely against the owner of the property. So we have to go through a process. And in February, we went before the planning board and got an advisory, a successful advisory opinion. We've gone to the zoning board and we have dimensional relief. And now we're dealing with this portion of the home, which is on the undeveloped portion of the road. Now, this is an old subdivision. It was laid out in around 1921. This house was a former ice house. And if one was to look at the maps and do a little bit of the studying that I did, it's pretty obvious that there was an era when the road was laid out. Undoubtedly, the ice house was there before the roads were laid out. So there was an error. It doesn't matter who did it, but it seems that my clients are going to pay the prices. That's one of the things we're requesting. So first of all, the road abandonment, if it doesn't get abandoned, number one, my client may not get a building permit, probably not. Number two, would have difficulty mortgaging the property because there's an exception to title being the encroachment. And number three, would have difficulty on selling the property because it'd be a marketability issue because a portion of the home is on the city's street. Although it's not the developed portion, it's the undeveloped portion. So as you can see with the recommendations from the planning department, that everybody's backing this. The one comment I have is I've asked to have a waiver of the fee. Now, there is a state statute which specifically gives Warwick the right to sell a portion of a road that ceases to be useful to the public. That's the language in the statute. It doesn't say Warwick has to sell it. They have the right to sell it. And I think this is an example of that my client's suffering, and it was told that before we can even make an application to appear before this board, we had to pay over $8,000 for an error that was made around the 1920s or 1930s. This is not a typical, I've been before this council many times on abandonments, and usually there's an abandonment because we argue that this portion of the road ceases to be useful. It might be a road that's a dead end. It might be a road that's been there forever, and or maybe a developer who wants to buy a piece of property so we can get an extra lot. We've done that many times. This is a completely different situation. This is a situation that they bought this house without having a survey, which most people in Rhode Island do. And now they're being told that a piece of property for which somebody back 100 years ago made a mistake in laying out a road, they're being told they have to pay $8,000 to correct an error. I believe it's unfair, it's unjust, and I would request that this council waive that and also grant our abandonment.
Thank you. We do have the planning director here. If members of the council or members of the public have any questions from the administration on this, they did send in their recommendation to us as well. So I think there's two parts. There's the abandonment issue, and then there's the fee request. I think we're going to have the solicitor speak on the fee request. Do you need more time on that, or would you like me to?
So the Rhode Island General Laws 24-6-1 has a general authorization. It opens with a general authorization about an abandonment that Attorney Resnick has cited in a general sense. As you read on in the subsection A, there is a provided clause as it relates to the City of Warwick, which reads, and provided further that the City of Warwick, upon receiving a request for the abandonment of a highway or driftway from an abutting property owner, may sell the highway or driftway to the abutting owner at fair market value. The city's ordinances, section 1-13, were amended in, it looks like, 2010 to further clarify the city's process as it relates to street abandonments and sale of same to abutting owner. And it cites the 24-6-1 provisos and says that this follows that the City of Warwick may sell the highway or driftway to the abutting owner at fair market value, and then further describes a very prescriptive approach to how one determines the fair market value by subtracting the fair market value of the abutting owner's land without the abandoned portion of the highway or driftway from the fair market value of the abutting owner's land with the abandoned portion of the highway or driftway included. So essentially, what was the value of the property without it, and what is the and you take that from the value of the property with the new land that they have, and that's how our ordinance describes the proviso, that how you calculate it. And so then it follows a process as it relates to the what they must do. So in this instance case, the appraisal was done to address for that calculation, and it was that value was concluded to be 8660, I believe, and that was submitted upon the favorable recommendation of the planning board and submitted as part of the petition that is brought before us. So the question here is really about the specifics that the General Assembly has applied to the City of Warwick and whether the may do this in this way and the limitations that the city's ordinances ask for your consideration here is to decide whether or not we have the authority to waive these fees. And it's a question here. It's in, you know, it's in controversy as it relates to the general versus the specific. And that's something we I'm working on, but would at least explain how we get to this distinction about how can we move forward. And so I at least want to pause at this time and see any comments or rebuttals that Attorney Resnick may have.
Attorney Resnick.
You know, my only comment, putting aside the ethics of this whole thing, of being forced to buy something back that was taken by a mistake, and I'm certainly couldn't have been the city because I don't think there were any planning or zoning boards back in the 20s. But the way I read this, you have the right, to sell it, but it says may, it doesn't say shall. You know, I'm going to stick, but I haven't done loads of research on this except, you know, read the statutory provision. And in statutory provision talks about ceases to be useful to the public. That's not why we're here. We're not claiming this ceases to be used by the public. It's been used by individual homeowners for over 100 years. And we're just trying to make our property marketable, mortgageable, and give us the opportunity to build. If we didn't do that, we couldn't do any of those things. So we don't meet this head on. So I would hope that you would consider this when you make your decision. This is, we're not looking for land. We're not looking to expand a lot. What we are looking is to be able to move forward with what we have.
Thank you. We're going to continue and then we can come back. Councilman Gephardt, this is Ward 9. I'll give you the first crack.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the presentation. You know, I've had the opportunity to speak with the property owners. This one's to me is just a head scratcher of something that just doesn't make sense. You know, it's a 100-year-old administrative error that, you know, essentially to do anything with their property. Now this, the homeowner's got to make right. The road clearly is in front of their house, not under their house. It doesn't feel right for them to need to then go buy that property, which was at no error of their own or no malicious intent of their own. Just happened to be where the chips fell here. So, you know, I think longer term, you know, if there is no opportunity here, you know, if we can't split the hair and say that if we're not selling it at all, you know, and I've approached the administration over the past couple months to say, can we just give this to the owner? Can we, you know, is there any other path? And, you know, to date, I've not found any successful path to follow here. It was sort of my last ditch effort that tonight we'd come here and I'd, you know, make a motion to amend the dollar value on this down to zero and, you know, fix this 100-year-old mistake for these folks so that they can go forward with their project. But it's sounding, you know, from the legal interpretation that maybe that may not be an option either. So either way, I'm in support of you know, allowing the Whites to move forward with projects on their property and with enjoying their property. But it's just one that I really think we should look at that ordinance, because there are these situations where there's extenuating circumstances. And wish we had a different way that we could deal with this particular situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Snappy.
I'm especially curious if this is an open question, because I have a similar issue in my own ward, and I agree that it's kind of a silly issue to have, frankly, because just like here in my ward, it's similarly kind of ridiculous, the problem we're having. So if there is a way for us to remedy it, I certainly would be of interest in that.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Through the Council President to Attorney Resnick, this portion that the city, according to the survey, the city owns, has that portion of square footage been something that the city has been taxing, or is that not something that the city has been taxing as part of the as part of your client's property?
I really can't answer that. I mean, I can tell you that if you,
I'm sorry. People usually tell me to keep quiet. You got to get louder. I don't know. I mean, I assume when you assess a property, you look at the whole property, you assess everything you see. And they probably assume that 100% of that house was on our lot, which it isn't.
Yeah. So in that situation, through the Council President, to address Councilman Snappy and Councilman Gebhardt, the concerns that they brought up, I would suggest that if the, well, hypothetically, in many of these situations, what happens is that the property that is owned by the city is something that the abutting property owner effectively gets the value of without paying property taxes on for that period of years. And alternatively, if the abutting property owner is in fact paying taxes, real estate taxes on that city owned property, then it would seem to me that the remedy would be a tax appeal to clarify the actual amount of square footage here. Unfortunately, it is a rather limited remedy because one can only go back so far in time, but I believe that the most consistent approach here for this city council with our ordinances and based on the state statute and our ordinances consistent with and building on that state statute would be to stick with the amount as stated by the administration. It may be unfortunate in this particular situation, but I believe it's important for us to, at this juncture, be consistent with our ordinances. And I would also raise a concern about making exceptions here and there, because the notion of fair market value, I think that it is a fair and proper, leads to better results overall. We don't want favoritism or the like to play any role in these types of decisions in favor of some other than others when it comes to abandonment of city lands and the price that the city gets for those lands. That's all my comments for now. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, Councilor. What year did you say the house was?
I'm sorry, just a plane going overhead.
What year did you say the house was built?
The house was built? It was built as an ice house?
No, no, no. The house. The current house that people live in.
It was an ice house. It was built, added on. Originally, the foundation in this house was the ice house that was built around, we're not sure, 20s. And the plat was laid out in 21. We believe the ice house was there before. Whatever additions happened to the house, but the foundation was there. And when the road was laid out, it was laid out incorrectly.
So when was the dwelling that they're residing in now with the attached porch, when was that built?
I don't know. We don't know. They bought it in 2017. It was there. We know that we do know from what we've been told that a portion of the house, the original foundation, was encroaching. I honestly don't know when the patio went in.
So the current owners are not the original owners? They're,
no.
Okay. No, I don't mean original from 100 years ago. I mean original.
Even
from,
I wasn't here then.
I mean original from whoever added on to the ice house. Now, I see in this plan that we have, I don't see where it indicates where the footprint of the ice house was in this plan. Do you have something like that?
There was a plan submitted which part of the package is a plan that was prepared, a road abandonment plan by Ocean State Planners, which shows the lot, the original lot, with the footprint and in the area of abandonment.
Is that what you have? Mr. President, may I check that? When this ice house was added onto and the porch was built, it's actually the majority of the encroachment is done by the porch. There's very, very little encroachment by the dwelling itself. When that porch was added on, I would assume that there was the proper permitting that took place to do that, which means setbacks would have had to be considered and so forth. But with all that said, you know, we're talking about an era that happened a long time ago. The more important question for me right now is there any part of this abandonment that comes near the street?
No.
It doesn't appear to, right?
Not at all.
None of it.
No.
Okay. So the width of the street would not be affected at all.
If you look at that plan, you'll see the dotted line of the actual paved area.
Okay. Yeah. So the problem I have is not so much with the request for the abandonment, but the request to eliminate the purchase price of the land. And a big part of that is because the various steps that were taken to get here, those decisions of favorable support were predicated upon a payment of $8,660. That's how this ended up here before us. That would have had to go, I would assume, before planning and before the zoning board and whatever, right? There's a bunch of big process. And throughout that, or at least in the end of that, the final approval or recommendation for approval to the city council came with the $8,660 payment for that land.
Can I respond to
that? And that is where I have a problem in forgiving that, because that's what ended up it getting to us for approval. In addition to now the gray area that was presented to us by the council solicitor. So I don't have a problem. Mr. President, I assume that there'll be two separate votes taken on this.
No, there is nothing before us to waive it. It's just the approval of, this is another request that they're making. So there's no, there hasn't been a motion or anything yet.
Unless somebody has something different, I would tend to support the abandonment. I realize that that portion of area 400 and some square feet is, you know, it's not, we're not talking about, you know, giving away an entire street or a quarter acre, a half acre. So I would lean towards supporting that, but I would not support dismissing the charge for that portion of land. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. President. It would appear that the similar to what Councilman Lattiser was just discussing, the issue is somewhat severable in this case, that we are here before us of completing a process and that could proceed. And it is, it presents the possibility to address this payment or potential credit as a separate measure to be discussed potentially through an abatement or other process. So I would suggest that, you know, to the council, it could be revisited as a subsequent issue following the completion of this process, but that's up to the council's prerogative.
Thank you. So just so everyone's on the same page, the only thing we're actually is before us at this time, there has not been a motion or anything else to amend this, is the abandonment part of this, which is what the planning department and approved and recommended to come to the council. So, and recommended for this, correct, Councilman? Thank you. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Okay. At this time, are there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Just come right up to the microphone, sir.
My name is Richard Langseth, Bud Long Farm Road in Warwick, L-A-N-G-S-E-T-H. I think that there's a problem with this. Everybody's assuming that the city owns the street. Perhaps council has reviewed, does the city have a deed to the street?
I can't think. Back in those days, honestly, I don't think they were.
Attorney, you have to speak on the mic.
Again, there was no, I think everybody just assumed they were city streets by common law. When you dedicated a plat, and then of course the laws have changed a little in the last 100 years where we have dedication, they're accepted by the council. So I can't say, I mean, we certainly acknowledge that, just for the record, we acknowledge that that is a city street.
Thank you.
When the city has possession of a street under the rule of incipient dedication, it's an easement, not an ownership. The owner, believe it or not, is the party asking for the abandonment. So what you're asking the owner to do is to buy the property he already owns. Because in the old days, there were no deeds to streets. The streets were simply owned by the abutters. And then easements were created across the street, and that's what we call the public highway. So it makes, in my mind, perhaps council has some other advice, but in my mind, the city doesn't own the street, so it can't sell the street. It can eliminate the easement, which is what we're asking for, or what council is asking for. And then, of course, there's a Scribner's error. If you look at the layout, this is crazy. This is not a typical, 30-foot wide street, 40-foot wide street. This is like a town square, and so the staff, the planning department, is asking for the owner to buy his own property. Number one, and number two, doesn't recognize the Scribner's error. So my feeling on this is that the city council should move ahead with the abandonment, but suggests to the planning department that they're in error asking the city to sell a street. It doesn't even own the street. Or perhaps you could. I hate to say this, but you might want to bring this up again at another hearing to get that item to get clarity. This is not the last time this is going to come up. You know, as council knows, Mr. Walsh, in the Buttonwoods Fire District, we've got the same problem all over the place. And the same problem exists in many other locations in the city. And it's just unreasonable for the city to be trying to sell based upon a statute. As I understand it, the only reason why the city's trying to sell this property is to meet the statute. That they're not trying to make a living off of selling streets. And I would think that the city council has the ability to recognize that the city doesn't own the street, so therefore the city can't sell the street. I don't know. Maybe I'm too old-fashioned, but that's my opinion. And one other thing we have to remember is there's another abandonment coming up, which is far more onerous. It's the airport's abandonment. It's the city's abandonment to the airport.
Yeah, we could have to stick to this, Mr.
But it is an important point. If the city sells this property, is the city also going to sell all those streets to the airport? Oh my God, you know, we got a real problem with that. And I think that's a good part of the record. But thank you very much for your time, for my time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone who would like to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone who would like to be heard on this project? Is there anyone that would like to be heard on this project? And are there any members of the public that would like to be heard on this project? Okay, hearing none, I'm looking for a motion to close the public hearing and then we will come back to the council again. Chairman Ricks?
So moved.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, council members, any other questions or comments for the applicant at this time? Okay, hearing none. Councilman Gephardt, do you have a motion?
Move favorable action on the abandonment of the portion of Lake Dell Drive.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Ricks. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis? 9 yes, first passage.
Thank you, first passage.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, attorney. We had agreed earlier to take up the second public hearing at this time, which is PCO 4-24, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the city of Warwick, 1009 Centerville. Committee report, land use.
Recommend and move open public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Thank you. So we will follow the same process. We will ask if there's someone here to present PCO 4-24. Council members will then ask questions. Then we will open up to the public where I ask if there are individuals here to speak in favor, individuals that would like to speak against the project, and if there's anyone like to be heard on the project. So at this time, please identify yourself, and we are now on PCO 4-24.
Excuse me. Good evening for the record, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sanford J. Resnick, and I represent the applicant, which is 1009 Centerville LLC, for the property located at 1009 Centerville Road. This is a request for an amendment to PCO 18-17, which was approved May 21, 2017. And we're really asking for an amendment to number four, which was no drive-through. And the reason was because of the site restraints. And there was another concern in regards to morning traffic, and this is not a morning restaurant. Again, this was zoned A50, and there was a home there for years. It was changed to general business. The difference in this restaurant, it's kind of a new type of restaurant. It's a restaurant that needs a pickup window. It's not what we call a drive-through. There's no order board. You order through an app. You pay in advance. So all you're really doing is coming onto the property and picking it up. But we also have the advantage of owning the property next door. Next door is where the veterinarian is coming. It's coming along nicely, and there's going to be a fast food restaurant there. And the owner of that, which is 889 Centerville, is going to grant an easement to this property, 107. So there'll be the lane. You go in the driveway, take a right, go on to the other property. We have more than ample parking. We'll have more than ample staging. We've talked to the company, and they tell us that I might be off a percent, 91, 92% of the time there's only one car there. So stacking is not going to be an issue, but we have plenty of room because we own that property next door, which is really very substantial. Again, you're going to go in, go around, and pick up the food. That's really the only difference in the application. I have, if anybody has any specific questions, Steve Hardy, who is the principal of both companies, is available. And we have a little map here.
Mr. Sanford, you gotta do it on the microphone so it can pick it up for the camera.
Hello?
Yep.
So what we've done is we've moved the building just a little bit to the right. We have parking on 889. We got a lane, you come in here, you go around, we have all this area, and then the pickup window is on the westerly side of the building. A nice flow, and again, the only time anybody would, if someone made a mistake and they got to the line too early, because when you put your app in and you order, by the way, healthy foods, salads and things, when you put your order in, it'll tell you when it's going to be ready so you can time it. And if you happen to be there a little early, then the people inside will direct you to go over to the parking area. It's kind of simple.
Very nice. Councilman Sinapi, this is in Ward 8. Do you have any questions or comments?
Just a couple. One, you're aware that it's going to be Kent County Water Authority, that whose jurisdiction it is for all water?
Yes.
And then you're also aware that the city stated, where is it? The parking obligations shall not be diminished regarding AP 241, Lot 11. Yeah. Yes. Are you aware that the city also said the shared parking plan shall not diminish the parking requirements?
We have more parking than we need.
Perfect. And then the only other thing I have is, I remember last time you came for this, you had mentioned a potential encumbrance regarding this exact thing, having a drive-through. Was this the only manner in which you were limited, or do any of the surrounding businesses also have anything in their stuff that will prevent this from actually working? I think the answer is no, but I'm just asking anyway. So am I correct in saying that's a no?
That's correct.
Perfect. And have you heard any issues or complaints regarding any residents in the area? Because I haven't, but obviously it'd be of interest to me if you have.
We haven't heard anything throughout the process.
Perfect. All right. No questions on my end.
Thank you. Attorney, can you talk about the other businesses that are in that plaza there, just so everyone gets an idea of what's already in there?
Right now, under construction, pretty close to being completed, is a veterinarian hospital. We take a ride over there. It's along, and there's one more use in that same building, which is going to be a fast food use. Those are the two uses there.
And this being Rhode Island, what was it before? TGIF?
This was TGIF.
TGIF Fridays restaurant. So just giving everybody a idea of what was there before and what is in that area there. Questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. I vaguely, let me first point out that following up on Councilman Sinapi's comment, that the building official has a stipulation here, the shared parking plan shall not, all right, you already spoke to that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was at a planning board meeting and briefly heard some discussion on this. I wasn't there for that particular item. Is this the same location where a car wash is pending as well?
There's no car wash pending.
It's not. Okay. And what you're looking to do is, because as you all saw in here, you know, way back in the day, Councilman Gallucci had put a stipulation in that there was to be no drive-through for all the obvious reasons, traffic backup, et cetera, et cetera. You have spoken to that, but you also just briefly touched on something else that brought up a question. How are people going to know when they get into that line that they're supposed to be placing their order on an app?
People get educated pretty quick.
Say what?
People get educated pretty quick. They'll be, this will go in a newspaper and people will see you can't order. There's no order board. So, I mean, is it going to happen? I assume so. But again, the studies we've done, and I asked Steve to have a study done of how often they're stacking, and it was over 90, I think it was 93% of the times during the business, there was there was zero over one, 93% of the time. So even if someone does get in there and haphazardly go in and look to order, they'll easily be able to get out and to go over to the parking area and go inside.
They'll be able to get out of the line and go out without having to back up and cause backups.
You want to show? Because I can't. Yeah. It's Steve Hardy, weren't you?
Okay.
Hi, Steve Hardy, Gatsby Companies, locating at 333 Main Street in East Greenwich. Thank you for the time. To answer everyone's question here, the restaurant in question is a company called Cava Restaurant. It is, as I mentioned, one location in Smithfield now, actually does not have this mobile pickup lane only. They're in a number of cities, so they don't have the option for this. There's only a couple of these locations. There are about 300 locations nationwide. It's Mediterranean bowls and quinoa salads, that type of thing, healthy options. So I don't know if you've seen this before, but Chipotle has been rolling out some of these nationwide where these lanes are clearly marked. It's not on this plan. But when you come in here, there's a mobile pickup lane, there's painting on the lane. And then what happens is once these people come in, they're directed to these. One of the operations people will say, "What's your order? What are you here for?" And say, "Well, I haven't made an order." I say, "Oh, if you wouldn't mind, just come around, park in, and come in. This is only for our mobile pickup." And this usually happens really effortlessly. Because as Attorney Resnick had mentioned, once you don't see a menu board, people start to kind of see this. And actually, speaking of Chipotle, where the old Bickford's was on Bullet Hill Road, when that was added in, very similar, same exact thing. Actually, if you notice, that traffic probably reduced once that came in. So that will really operate the same way here. One of the reasons that we had to ask for this and why this was so different from the last one is that the last plan was zero lot line up against here that didn't allow for the lane to go or anyone to go around the building from the back. So we just shifted that. We decreased the size of the restaurant from 2590, I think, down to 2,500 square feet. Still the same amount of seats total, indoor and outdoor. And the key difference here, and what was the big sticking point from looking at the minutes back in 2017, was that these were anything around the morning. Everyone was concerned about the morning. And also, there was a fence that was required to, like a wooden kind of, you know, knee-high fence that was to split these two properties. That didn't work. So you wouldn't be able to get that type of circulation through there. Cava Restaurant doesn't open until 11 a.m. Their peak times are anywhere between 11:30 to 1. And just like Sandy had mentioned, 97% of the time there would ever be one at any one time in this lane. So again, you know, again, we're addressing the ordinance that this ordinance does not have depict between the traditional fast food drive-through that we know, but also just now more of these companies are gravitating towards this pickup only. So
you said you've moved the building over from 2017 proposal. How far have you moved the building over in terms of feet?
Can't quote me, but 18 feet.
About 18 feet?
Yes.
You've moved it over from where it was to where it's going to be.
So this is going from a square, and the last building had an angle going on that triangle. So,
and in the 2017 ordinance, it speaks to a revised traffic study shall be required to be submitted to the administrative office for review and approval for that use prior to permitting. Has a new traffic study been completed with this proposal?
You just hold 1 second.
Give me 1 second, Council.
Sure.
So what it says is, if an otherwise allowed general business use is proposed that has hours of operation that include early morning peak travel times, then a revised traffic study shall be required. And we're not doing any peak morning hours.
Right now. So what happens at some point in the time down the road?
Because we'll have to come back. We'll have to come back.
These stipulations that are approved, implied, required. I've seen them change dozens of times because you know why? Nobody enforces them after they're put in. So if this changes and they go into peak morning hours, then you will need to come back or you'll need to conduct a traffic
study. Absolutely.
Assuming someone's monitoring it. Right. Okay. Thank you. I'm all set.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Looking this over, well, I have a few questions. So just to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly, I thought initially that this was a request to simply strike condition number 4 entirely.
That's correct. Number 4, the condition is no drive-thru.
Right. So if condition number 4 were struck, then to Councilman Lattiser's concern, if, let's say, a few years in the future, there's a decision that, okay, now we're going to be open for morning hours as well, there would be nothing preventing the drive-through from being used in the morning, correct?
That's not true.
Councilman Ricks, if I could clarify this, the reference that they're citing to number four is in the prior zone change that occurred, PCO 18-17. The draft before you, PCO 4-24, renumbers the stipulations. So number five on the old one is number four before us because it removed the old number four.
I think I'm a little bit more confused now. I was looking at the old PCO 18-17, and that's the one that is one line, line 46, it appears. That reads, quote, that, comma, due to site constraints, comma, there shall be no drive-through use allowed on this parcel, period, end quote.
That's correct. And that's what we're asking to be deleted, because we don't have a traditional drive-through. We have a pickup, and we don't have the same conditions because we have parking and holding available on another lot. So, and we don't have any morning hours. So if the answer to your question is, if a use changes, we're on Centerville Road, honestly, it's really hard to hide that. So if we're going to make a use, the first thing we're going to do is come to the planning office and have a discussion with the planner as to what we want to do. And wherever we have to go, if it's this council, we'll be back.
So to clarify, I think I understand what the council solicitor is referring to, that with PCO 4-24, which is before us this evening, item 5 from PCO 18-17 becomes item 4. And that provision does have stipulations that affect hours of operation, including early morning peak travel times. However, I do still have a concern in that if item 4 is struck in its entirety, then we're not just talking about allowing the proposed pickup window, but a more traditional drive-through as well, correct?
The specific request is the pickup. So when the ordinance, that's up to the council, but it is a pickup window without an ordering board. However they like to word that, that's fine. But again, the last paragraph, which will be 4, which is now 5, we're not asking to change that. So we're agreeing to the prior stipulation in regards to if we're going to have morning hours, which we certainly don't plan to do, then we have to take steps. First one will be to do a traffic study. That's not our plan.
Okay. I would feel a little bit better about this if there were, as part of the stipulations, expressly allowing a pickup window while expressly disallowing the more traditional drive-through that allows for one to place an order of that nature. And part of my concern there is simply the reason why this was required in the first place back then when Councilman Gallucci introduced this. But I think that a concern about that particular parcel of real estate is well-founded based on the Chick-fil-A next door. I don't know how many folks here at this council use that road on a regular basis in front of the old TGI Fridays and Chick-fil-A. But I know that oftentimes when I find myself on that road, I find myself turning through the neighboring parking lot in order to make it through, because that road is just a logjam of vehicles trying to get through the Chick-fil-A drive-through. I would want to avoid a situation where that's compounded by another restaurant. I think that the proposal here before us tonight, I think that it can certainly be geared with a pickup window only to avoid that precise situation. But I don't want us to see something where the city council strikes language with one thing in mind, but opens up the door to another Chick-fil-A type situation, which ultimately isn't great for public safety, where effectively people are either trapped or having to unnecessarily turn and make a detour through a private parking lot. That's all my comments for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's important that this is their business model is a pickup window. This is the business model for this group. They're not looking for the traditional, you go up to the board and you order and stuff like that. So a whole lot would have to change and as the attorney said, they would have to come before us. So their business model is not asking for the traditional thing. Mr. Gallucci, when he was talking about those, he was talking about the drive-throughs, like the ones we see in the Dunkin' Donuts, which abut neighborhoods and stuff like that. As you mentioned, Chick-fil-A is the neighbor over there. You go to Route 2, these are where these type of places is. In my opinion, this is where you want these types of businesses there. People know how to go in and do that. So I think it's important to recognize that their business model calls for this particular thing. And it's newer. People ordering for maps is getting more and more common in place. So when we put in the ordinance back in 2018, probably wasn't as common. So that's why they had it. I just don't want us to get bogged down too much on technicalities, where I think it's very important that each and every applicant comes before us when they need a waiver like this. And we really need to look at exactly where it is in relation to what's already around there and stuff like that. So I know Councilman Sinapi wants to speak again, but let's see if there's any members of the public here to speak in favor of this project. Are there any members of the public here to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public that like to be heard on this project? Are there any members of the public that like to be heard on this project? Are there any members of the public that like to be heard on this project? Okay, I'm looking for a motion to close the public hearing, and then we'll go back to the council, and on the floor we'll go to Councilman Sinapi. Do we have a motion to close the public hearing? By Councilman Sinapi, second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Okay, we are back to the council. Councilman Sinapi.
So just a couple things. One, I have no issue with the language as stated, because it seeks to prevent the exact issue that Councilman Lattiser wisely raises, because that's a very reasonable concern. Because that requirement exists, if they did, for whatever reason, tomorrow change their business plan to a car drive-through, as long as it even potentially had an impact on these hours, this stipulation would trigger. So I'm not concerned in that regard. I would actually be concerned if we added in an express stipulation, because it stands to reason that the language as present here in clause 5, and that which is now 4, is likely used elsewhere. So I don't want another either owner or applicant later saying, well, it actually doesn't mean what you guys always said it meant, because of now what you're doing with this property over here, where you added in this express one because you said it, and you know, the other language didn't cover it. I don't want to upend the apple cart, especially if that's what we've always done language wise. Seems like a really bad idea, especially when the current language covers it. I understand the preference for getting things as express as possible, but there's a reason with legalese why you don't do that. And one, so you don't mess up everything you've done before, but two, so you're more broad with what you catch. So I'm perfectly fine with it as is, and I think changing it would actually potentially be detrimental towards our stipulations elsewhere, so I would not be in favor of such.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Ricks.
A question for the council solicitor. Paragraph 4 on the current one before us, which used to be paragraph 5, that stipulation relating to a traffic study only relates to early morning, correct?
The clause you're referencing begins, if an otherwise allowed GB use is proposed that has hours of operation that include early morning peak travel times, then a revised traffic study shall be required to be submitted to the administrative officer. So it's being qualified on the travel time piece.
Right. So I think that my concern remains that if paragraph 4 from the original PCO 18-17 is simply struck in its entirety, then that means that if a drive-through were to be opened for a restaurant that only has hours of operation that are outside of the early morning, say from 11 o'clock a.m. forward, I think we can all agree that that's not early morning, then if we were to have struck that stipulation, in theory, the applicant, the business, could go ahead, open a traditional drive-through without the need for a new traffic study or anything of that nature. So what I would suggest, so as to accommodate the applicant in the business model that they are suggesting here, which I have no opposition to exactly the business model that they are suggesting here, I would oppose a traditional drive-through at that location, but not what they are suggesting here. I would suggest that paragraph 4 of PCO-18-17 be modified such that what is paragraph 4 on PCO-4-24 would become paragraph 5, and that the new paragraph 4, it effectively strike what is paragraph 4 on PCO-18-17 and replace it with the language that, quote, that due to site constraints, there shall be no order window or similar allowed on this parcel, semicolon. However, comma, notwithstanding such condition, comma, a pickup window shall be allowed on this parcel. End quote. I'd be open to suggestions on that precise language, but I think that language to that effect would accomplish the purpose while maintaining the protection of not simply allowing a drive-through with no caveats.
So one thought, Councilman Ricks, I don't know if this would be simpler, because I'm not sure if it captures what you're looking for, so I apologize in advance. If what is currently in the old one, number 5, and is proposed now to be number 4, where it's that this recommendation for zone change is contingent upon an allowed general business, blah, 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 and it has the specified time as early morning peak travel times, would it make more sense just to get rid of the caveat of early morning so that it captures any and all peak travel times? Because that's the concern, is not that whether or not they have a drive-through, because that in and of itself doesn't matter. What matters is if they have a drive-through that causes a traffic problem.
I agree. I think that that's a perfectly good way of addressing the issue.
And then we wouldn't need as much to change as much, because I don't disagree that what you were proposing potentially makes sense, but doing it the way I just proposed is potentially simpler, although I'd leave it to the solicitor to tell us whether or not we're both crazy.
Okay, we're getting lost in the weeds here. Do you have an amendment? If you want to make a motion, you got to make it a motion and get a second, then we can have a discussion. We can't have this back and forth. Please make it clear exactly what you are looking for.
Thank you. Yes, I would move to amend PCO 4-24, looking at the existing paragraph 4. I would, starting at line 5, strike, starting with the word that, and continuing onto line 6, strike, has hours of operations that include early morning peak travel times, comma.
That the amendment?
That would be the amendment.
Do we have a second? Do we have a second to his amendment? Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Lattiser.
Oh.
You seconded his amendment, correct?
I did.
Okay.
So the question I have is, Councilman Ricks spoke about line 5. And line 6, it also in line 4, it says, which represents no impact on the early morning peak travels. And that's what Councilman Sinapi was referring to as well. So it's in there more than once. That's the reason I seconded it for clarification.
Any other questions or comments on the amendment? Okay, do you have any comments on the amendment?
If I understand it, then we'd be immediately required to go do a traffic study. So the whole point of this was to keep what's there in effect, or whatever we do, other than what we're doing, we would need a traffic study if it affected the morning hours. This is Centerville Road. One problem I understand with the coffee across the street, but this is not that kind of restaurant. You probably wouldn't do that, but I certainly would agree that we wouldn't have an order board if someone's concerned about the drive-through. But I mean, we can't agree to shoot ourselves in the foot to get this approval and then have to do a traffic study. Doesn't make sense.
Councilman Howe, and then we also have the planning director here as well. I'd like to get your thoughts on this.
Thank you. I was just going to ask the councilman from the area, the work is done, Councilman Sinapi, what his opinion is on the amendment. And, oh, I apologize. Councilman Tim Howe, Ward 3. I'm asking Councilman Sinapi what his feeling is, since this is in his ward, on the amendment. Thank you.
So my preference, if we wanted to address the issue as raised, would be to simply remove the phrase early morning the two times it appears, which would be different than the amendment as proposed. And I'm not sure the applicant's concern is valid. And so correct me if I'm wrong, because I might not be understanding it correctly. Because the trigger for the traffic study is that there has to be an impact, let's pretend early morning wasn't there, on peak travel times to that section of the road, and that, you know, or that the use would include peak travel times if it's not otherwise the other general business use. So based on the business model, it doesn't sound like there would be an impact, unless I'm missing something. Or is this going to fall into the different allowed general business use, in which case it's going to automatically require the traffic study simply because of the hours of operation? So basically, does this business fall under clause one or clause two for the purposes of that paragraph, the first trigger or the second? Because as long as it only falls under the first trigger, then the concern about an automatic traffic study is resolved. If it falls under the second trigger, then you're absolutely right. It does seem like a traffic study right off the bat would be required if an amendment went forward.
So it's, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it seems that any other use other than one we have, whatever the use is.
You got to go right on the mic. Got to say it right into the microphone.
It seems to me that, again, we're here asked for an amendment in regards to a drive-through. Now we're going through a whole change in requiring traffic reports. This is Centerville Road. Anything you do there is going to have effect on extraordinarily heavy traffic. The concern of the last council, as bad as it is, morning would be a problem. But the rest of the day, I mean, it seems to be anti. I'm not sure why we would have to do a new traffic study for a different use.
Thank you. We're going to go to Solicitor Walsh, then we're going to go to the administration, and then we're going to vote on this amendment.
Councilman Sinapia, members of the council, I would concur with Attorney Resnick on this, that these appear to have independent implications, so that the amendment as presented would operate in a manner that triggers traffic studies much more than what is currently presented. So
you said the amendment as presented, not what I was talking about, though, right?
We're on the amendment.
All right. So understood.
Director Kravitz, please identify yourself for the record.
Yep. Tom Kravitz, the city planning director. The only thing I can offer is some insight as to what the planning board was thinking when they reviewed this, and what moved them was the technology that's employed now at drive-thrus. Chipotle, you cannot order. You need to use a mobile device and order through an app. And that's the only way you can get food. I did it personally myself, and you have to just drive through the wavy through. You cannot get food. So the planning board rests in the fact that the new technology makes the lines move quicker, and there's a big parking lot adjacent to the site. So I think Councilman Ricks may have had it right the first time when he simply tried to articulate, you know, a drive-through shall be allowed, however, provided that it utilizes wireless technology apps to execute the ordering off-site, and it shall be a pickup site only. I think if he did that, it would work fine.
Whatever works, as far as I'm concerned.
So it's my understanding is that this went through the planning board. They came up with the recommendation on this. They were comfortable with this. They did the due diligence and made the recommendation, as is the applicant before us at this time. We take into account where this is, and there was no residents here to speak for or against the project or had any thoughts on the project as well. Councilman Sinapi said he hasn't heard from anybody as well. So I just want to point that all out, that I think we're on a good path here. I'm not sure if the amendments are helpful. And again, we're talking about this particular business plan. So what could happen down the road and everything like that, we can't plan for everything in all situations. We can only vote on what is before us at this time. So there has been an amendment. It has been seconded. I'm going to have Councilman Ricks, and then go ahead, Councilman Ricks.
First, a brief comment that in this situation with the abutters, I don't believe that there were any residential abutters who were notified of this. That's just a matter of the layout. This is not near any residential properties, but this is also something that, similar to so many heavily trafficked sites, it's something that is going to affect thousands of people, but there might not be any particular person who individually has a strong incentive to come here. With that said, I would move to substitute my amendment to the effect of the planning department director's statement. So we would leave the existing paragraph 4 of PCO 4-20.
Councilman, hold on. Okay, so now you want to withdraw your first amendment and make another amendment?
Correct.
Okay. Any objections to Councilman Ricks withdrawing his amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is withdrawn. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. We would add a new paragraph 4 to the effect, and I'll allow the planning director or the council solicitor to state to that effect so that I'm not tripping over my own language.
Hi, Tom Kravitz, planning director. I had suggested that perhaps a revised condition 4 could read that a drive-through shall be allowed. However, it's subject to pickup only, no ordering on site. Ordering shall be done through wireless technologies utilizing apps.
The planning director said it far better than I could. That is my amendment.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Lattiser. Okay, first of all, I think it's important that, you know, they went through all this process here, that amendments like this should have been made at the planning department if this was a concern. The planning department did not have a concern the way the pickup is. So I think, you know, I get a little weary every time we try to go and make these big amendments at public hearings where, you know, other boards and stuff have already reviewed and made recommendations to us on certain things that I'm not sure everybody has gone through and reviewed that as well.
Could the planning director rephrase, just catching up to the...
We need to hear the exact language so we know what the vote is.
Section 4 again could read, I might word it differently now, but it shall, drive-through shall be allowed, provided, however, that there shall be no ordering on site. Ordering shall be executed through wireless technology apps.
Once again, on site.
Wireless technology apps off site. In other words, you would use your cell phone.
Once again,
we got to be careful.
This limits a lot of things based on that phraseology.
We've got to be careful because we have inside seating and inside ordering.
Where one uses a wireless device, to the council's point, could be in the parking lot.
Right, but we're talking about the drive-through.
So, exactly. Yeah, but they could order it in the parking lot there. That would be on site, so that's a problem. Technology could change. They could do it some other way. We're saying wireless.
Right.
But we just need the amendment. We need the amendment, then we can debate it. So what is the final language? Councilman Ricks, this is your amendment, not the director. So please make the final language.
Thank you. The language of my amendment would read, there shall be no separate window for ordering at a drive-through, semicolon. However, a drive-through pickup window shall be allowed, period. End quote.
Okay, so that's the language. Councilman Lattiser, you seconded that language. Okay, I'd like to hear from...
I'm sorry, could I...
Yeah, can you please repeat the language of what you're proposing.
Thank you. I would kindly ask if the stenographer could read it back.
Solicitor Walsh will read it back.
Councilman Ricks has asked that a clarification be made, and we can work on the exact location, but the language that he just read was that there shall be no separate window for ordering at a drive-through, semicolon. However, a drive-through pickup window shall be allowed.
Once again, please, I'm sorry. I just want to be careful that we don't preclude ourselves from business.
The language that was offered, and we haven't identified the exact location of where it may be put in, is that there shall be no separate window for ordering at a drive-through. However, a drive-through pickup window shall be allowed.
That's fine.
Councilman Sinapi, this is your ward. Any thoughts on that amendment?
The petitioner's fine with it. The solicitor seems fine with it. He hasn't thrown anything at us, and the city seems fine with it, so I'm fine with it.
I just need one moment to identify location if there's any other questions.
Comments. Any other questions or comments on the amendment? Councilman Foley.
I don't want to drag this out any further, but this is one of the reasons businesses might not be coming to Warwick. They went through the planning department. They went through zoning, who looked at this in minutia. They make a recommendation here, and on the fly, we're going to amend this. And to Councilor Resnick standing there with his client saying, well, I hope we're not screwing ourselves. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous that at the 11th hour, in 4 minutes of consultation there, they have to decide about their business model. And we wonder why businesses don't come to Warwick more often. This is a perfect example of that. I am not voting in favor of the amendment.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Councilman Howe.
I just want to thank my colleague for saying that, because when this happens, I feel the exact same way. There's a process. Every planning board, I look at the agenda and I read to see what it says. And respectfully, I also respect the opinion and the input and the valued time of a colleague who represents the ward. The council person of that ward knows that ward, knows that area best. And when we start kind of just throwing our 7, 8, 9 cents in on things that have been worked out between the planning board, the zoning board, and the person of the representative of the ward, I can't describe it any better than what Councilman Foley did. I just have to go on record and say that I get nervous. The second part I get nervous about is when we start putting restrictions on one particular business in an area, that sets a precedence. So for me, that sets a precedence. So again, thank you, Councilman Foley, for identifying that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hear what my colleagues are saying. I understand what the petition is saying. And sure, zoning has their meetings and their go at it, as does planning. And then they make a recommendation to this city council. That doesn't mean that we are not independent thinkers. It doesn't mean that we have to just rubber stamp something because it was recommended to this council. I think of myself as an independent thinker. You can bring me your recommendations, you can bring me your suggestions. After I hear all of the conversations back and forth, I'm quite capable of making my own decisions. And sometimes I would agree, and sometimes I disagree. And that's how I view my job and my responsibility, not just to say, okay, we have a recommendation and I have to go along with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on the amendment? you've already spoken on it. You've already spoken on it. I think we should take a vote on the amendment. Hold on, Solicitor Walsh. Okay, we've had a lot of discussions, a lot of back and forth, a lot of changes. I would like the solicitor to read the amendment that's been seconded one last time. Then I'm just going to ask the petitioner their last thoughts, and then we'll vote the amendment.
So as this provision that existed previously was a separate stipulation, my recommendation is to treat it similarly. And so the amendment that Councilman Rick seconded by Councilman Lattiser has presented is to add stipulation number 5 that would say there shall be no separate window for ordering at a drive-through. However, a drive-through pickup window shall be allowed. So that is the amendment, Mr. President.
The amendment before us, we've had a lot of discussion on this. I'll give the petitioner the last word. This is just on the amendment. And you don't have to give any last words on this. While they discuss, I think it's important, as what Councilman Foley said, that he has to meet with his client right now, kind of on the fly for a big change here.
Think about what you're missing. So it's a little difficult. We're okay. We're fine.
Okay. So the motion has been moved and seconded. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
5-4, sorry, amendment passes.
So the amendment passes. So now we have that language in the amendment. That is the new thing going forward. Councilman Sinappi, any last comments or do you have a motion to make?
Just thank you to the petitioner for being so accommodating. And other than that, I move for favorable action.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Ricks. Any questions or comments? So now it's before us with that amendment on any other issue that was discussed. Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no, and favorable.
Thank you. So the PCO 4-24 has been passed favorable with that amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you. For first passage. Thank you. And that concludes the two public hearings this evening. Back to the regular agenda, we need to go back to page 2 on the agenda, to the consent calendar. First up is PCR 43-24 resolution relative to bids. Committee report finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go right ahead, Councilman Howe.
Bid 2025-015, 2025-011, 2024-352, 2022-285, 2024-455, 2024-065, 2025-026, 2024-461, 2024-456, 2024-460, 2024-457, 2024-088, 2024-458, 2024-459, 2024-076 Alpha. That concludes the bids from the consent calendar, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Okay, next up is PCR 44-24, resolution relative to claims committee report, public safety.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley.
How are you doing? The first one is number one.
Favorable action, and we just need to get a second by Councilman McElroy. Go right ahead, Councilman.
Sorry. The first one is Damon Oppen. The recommendation is to approve in the amount of $231.29. The second is Stephen Clark. The recommendation is to approve in the amount of $300. The next one is for Patricia Donahue. The recommendation is to approve in the amount of $289. Sydney Martin, the recommendation is to approve in the amount of $266.99. The next one is Tracy McKenna, recommendation to approve in the amount of $215.20. And Pamela Tweed, the recommendation is to approve in the amount of $300. We have three that were pulled.
Yep. Thank you, Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on these that were not asked earlier in committee? Okay. Hearing none. It's the consent count has been moved in second. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the consent calendar.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you. Consent passes. I believe there was three items removed from the consent calendar. Councilman Foley.
Yes, the first is from Michelle Clasby, PCR 45-24, to hold till June 3rd.
Hold to June 3rd.
Dan Corrigan, PCR 46-24, hold to June 3rd.
Hold to June 3rd.
And Robert Stanino, PCR 47-24 to hold, I'm sorry, deny.
So that's favorable to deny.
Favorable to deny.
So you'll make that motion favorable to deny?
I make that motion.
And seconded by Councilman McElroy and Councilman Howe. This claim went through committee. The recommendation is favorable to deny. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no. Motion to deny passes.
Thank you. Now we're moving to, we did the two public hearings. So now we're moving to page 5 on the agenda, which is unfinished business. There are none. So now we're moving to new business. First up is PCR 41-24, committee report intergovernmental.
Favorable action, Mr. President.
For action, Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments on this that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you. Motion passes. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9?
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis?
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor of moving to docket session, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We are in the docket session. I have two items to docket this evening. The first is a resolution relative to transfers, supplies, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. So hence a resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. That's finance. And my second item is a resolution adopting and setting the tax rate of the city of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2024, and ending June 30th, 2025 for the Finance Committee. That's the budget, and we're going to start at 4 o'clock on the budget day. Ward 1, anything to docket?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5.
Yes, Mr. President, I have one. It's a resolution, and the contents would be requesting city solicitor review bid number 2024-065, overlook any claim, including breach of contract the city may have, and take appropriate action.
Intergovernmental. Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 already went. Ward 8?
Just want a resolution requesting General Assembly to enact legislation exempting from taxation the real property and the tangible personal property of Disability Rights Rhode Island.
Intergovernmental. Will the fiscal note be coming with that before we take it up? Ward 9?
Pass.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.